Hello, and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney. Before this week's episode, a few friendly reminders. New episodes drop every Thursday afternoon.
Opinions and views expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the Arts Asylum, Mutual Musicians Foundation, or KOJH 104.7.
If you have any questions, concerns, or suggestions, please contact us via email at couchchats@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at couchchats. And don't forget, that's couch with a K. Please also remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Bye.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Corey.
Yeah, I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have Alex Perry, everyone.
Yay.
Welcome to the couch, Alex.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome. And by the way, Alex, how are you doing?
I hear my ankle is a big deal, so...
Ankle?
Oh, no, appendix. I'm sorry. Appendix is a big deal? I don't know. I've only had a few injuries, and
yeah.
So...
That's true.
You can't. My ankle was.
All of a sudden, I was like, "We have to talk about the ankle now." How did no one?
Appendix. My appendix is fine.
Yeah. Do you still have it?
No, I assume not. I mean, I was unconscious, so I don't.
No, they took it, but like he's asking if we had it in a drawer, in like a jar.
Oh no, I don't physically have it. I mean, I assume
you
it's not
you can sometimes keep some of those things, right? Like, can't you?
Yeah,
take
I had.
Home
I knew.
Organ? What a way to start.
I had it when I worked when I had the bead garden. I had a client that would come in and he made so gross. He made necklaces out of his patient's gallstones.
Wow.
I mean, is that the grossest you've ever heard?
Take it with you, I guess.
Right. So no, we don't have an appendix necklace
sitting
anymore.
In the house.
Is that...
So for the listeners,
I think it's too squishy for a necklace.
Ew. Blah.
I'll have to do some research after this. Well, for the fives and tens, Alex Perry is the husband of Courtney Perry, my co-host.
That's what I heard.
So, that's pretty cool. So, it'll be kind of a funny question, but how the hell did you get to the couch today, Mr. Perry?
Right, yeah, there's so many ways that I could answer this, as knowing this was the first question.
I'm
horribly unprepared, but we can, you know, just jump right in here. So, how did I get to the couch? Well, the couch exists in the Arts Asylum.
That is correct.
Which started in 2009. You know, with us all getting together and doing this crazy thing.
Mm-hmm. And from your perspective, how did you find the building that is now the Arts Asylum? Because I've never actually heard you sort of tell your side of it.
So I was working as a tour scenic designer for Tech Nine. they wanted to shoot a video, a music video. That was a kind of combination of preaching in a church, and then that church burns down, and then kind of a concert in the rubble sort of situation, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while, so I think I'm remembering that properly.
And
10 years ago.
Had you what is the time difference between when you toured with Aaron, a.k.a. Tech Nine, and when you decided that this building was probably going to be part of your legacy?
So he never, he wasn't on the, we were just kind of scouting locations.
Site visits,
yeah, and so he wasn't there. Actually, the first time I saw this building, I was driving around with Laura Burkhart, and we were just looking at churches. She has a knowledge of the Kansas City church market, I guess.
I had no idea about Laura Burkhart. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was raining, and we took some pictures, and one of the pictures I took had the real estate sign of it being for sale. So we called the real estate agent, and he was a very nice gentleman that didn't work at all for the music video.
No.
But he was, you know, very, very passionate about the fact that we should just own it. And so we kind of went down that road.
Yeah.
So.
That was a cool day, you know, which sort of takes us a little bit, you know, if we precurse that a little bit. I met you, like, I don't know if you were there that night, but we could say that potentially today is you and I, Alex's 10-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all, I don't know if we all met, but we were all at that show.
Yeah, so 10 today. Years ago today when we're recording, not when this airs, but...
At Hair?
Yeah.
Hair.
10 years ago today is when I kind of met this whole band of misfits at the JOB Theater at the production of Hair. I knew
no one involved in that show except Marina.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting.
Not a soul.
Okay.
Because I had been away from college and I had just kind of came back.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And I did all that. So, Hare, you kind of stepped in and helped with lights for that. Is that correct?
I did, yeah. I let the sun shine in.
You did?
Yeah.
In the way that Alex Perry always lets the sun shine in. Saving some show's ass. That's what I like to say.
With very strange instruments. For some reason, I was picturing those. They had, like, remember they, like, were spinny and had, like, a gel business inside of them?
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to explain that more when we're not on air so that nobody is bored to death, but, like, like a kaleidoscope.
But you're just
going to
go ahead and keep
it short. Anyway, yeah, I was thinking about that just the other day. I was like, those were weird. I don't know what those were called.
And we'll that was later. Whenever, had you started Fire Designs or taken over Fire Designs from that point?
We had started Fire Designs before the, no, not before Hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. We started Fire Designs in 2008.
Okay.
We were doing Fire Designs long before that. Fire Designs, Scenic Arts being the first company I started. And it was mostly scenic and lighting. And yeah, it officially became a sole proprietorship in 2008, but we were working long before that. The only reason we became a sole proprietorship is because Silpata needed us to be a real company in order to work with them.
I remember those days.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So I met you probably at your house at a cast party after that, like, for real.
Yep. There was some conversation about bears.
Were bears.
That was the first time we
talked. Bears.
Heard. Yeah.
Like Nick, bears in the woods.
Remember how Nick used to watch that bear show all the time?
Where he sleeps with bears. And yeah, Marina and you and... Yeah, it was fun. That was a good night. So yeah, so then at some point I sort of started like hanging out with all of you people. And I started to work for Fire Designs, which was hired by the American Heartland Theater to sort of strike sets. Is that kind of how that works? Nope, the other way around.
Yeah, no, Fire Designs was started to keep the staff employed between American Heartland Theater shows. Mm-hmm. So the American Heartland Theater hired me and paid a set of employees, but it was not full-time work. Mm-hmm. We would build a show, we would put in a show, and then there would be some downtime. And so I originally started the company to fill the downtime, because if I let everyone go, basically, shows up, you're all fired. Then it was hard to get viable humans for the next show.
Right.
So trying to keep a staff and get that more functional was really the creation of Fire Designs, and it didn't really work out because, you know, it's theater, so all things just happen at the same time and overlap, and so some days it would work perfectly and we'd have a show between the shows at the Heartland, and some days it would work less perfectly and things would overlap. And
I think that sort of maybe prepared you for your current world right now.
I think, yeah, it's the you know, starting in college doing too many things at once and then getting into the real world and doing too many things at once, and it's a general trend.
Yeah.
You want to say yes to everyone and be the company that can do the thing or be the guy that can, you know, help you out or whatever it is, and then everyone wants it at the same time, and yeah.
I know that. I know that feeling. Yeah. So from Fire Designs, then the Heartland closed, and so then you sort of got to acquire some of those possessions, I believe, in a sale. Is that correct?
Yeah, in 2012, actually in 2009, we started a conversation with A to Z Theatrical about purchasing the company, and the conversation stalled for a few years, and then got back going in 2012, and that sale happened January 1st, 2013. With no knowledge that on the horizon was the closing of the Heartland. Mm-hmm. So April 1st of 2013, which, you know, we thought was a terrible April Fool's joke, the Heartland announced that it was closing the doors forever at the end of the season, which would have been end of summer, yeah. Mm-hmm. So A&E Theatrical... Yeah, there were a lot of efforts to try to do something more before it closed, to try to get... you know, one last hurrah, do a Christmas show. There was a lot of discussions of how we could go out with a bigger bang. Mm-hmm. And Hallmark said no, to my understanding. I was not part of any of those conversations.
Instead, we stayed on a beach and sang and danced.
You know, every time I replay that, I think that there could have been something else, but it was so perfect. I mean, but it was because it was, like, people who I would eventually have, or, like, because Molly was in that show. Like, it, you know,
Molly
it's
Hammer,
like, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's people that ended up being, like,
yeah,
the perfect set off.
Yeah.
It was. That was what a whirlwind, sort of, how's that? Because then you sort of had to move all of that stuff from said Crown Center into your scenic shop.
When I purchased ABC Theatrical, the intention was just kind of to run things parallel, to continue doing the work with the American Heartland Theater and to kind of gradually develop what is ABC Theatrical into doing more things. We're still working with Fire Designs and just kind of meld Fire Designs and A to Z into one entity and continue with the American Heartland Theater. 4 months later, they announced they were closing. And there were some big decisions to make. You know, without the position with the Heartland, could have just kind of stepped into A to Z as a full-time employee there and kind of abandoned the past world, the company I had been creating. Because A to Z at the time didn't do any lighting design, didn't do any fabrication of any sort, scenic or otherwise. And so I had kind of a big choice to make, whether to abandon the company I had created for the new company I just purchased, or try
while,
to...
While you're kind of building the asylum, don't forget that
right.
There's this thing...
It's still happening, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The Arts Asylum opened its doors officially in June of 2012.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saying that all of this is sort of like laying on top of each other for the fives and tens, if you can sort of follow, like, Alex's brain.
Right. So I made a decision, and it was to... try to do it all. Might have been the worst decision I've ever made. I'm not sure. I'll let you know when it all settles. When the dust settles.
Yeah,
that'll
never happen.
We'll sort that out later.
No.
we'll do another interview after the dust settles.
Yeah.
I doubt it. So made the decision to move forward doing both. I struck a deal with the American Heartland Theater to buy the contents, basically, everything that they own. So props, costumes, all of the tools and scenic materials from the scene shop.
Did you have any grasp of what all of that was going to be?
I did. I had a very solid understanding of what it was, which, you know, I knew that it was going to be quite an undertaking, and it was a lot. It was a vast undertaking. So I rented the shop space, created a lease with Hallmark, because we were in Hallmark property over at 27th and Warwick.
27th and Warwick.
Uh-huh. And leased that building from them to be able to keep the scene shop as it is. And then we had to empty the Heartland. And so I struck a deal with, I guess it was Heartland or maybe Crown Center, to buy all of their contents for a low, low price, under the premise that we would be responsible for cleaning out the entirety of the space. In hindsight, they should have paid me. there's no way that was worth it.
Right.
But at the time, I you know, and maybe it was the contents of the scene shop. Had
your assets
value.
Are pretty wonderful.
Yeah, we got flats and platforms, and I had designed a revolve. I think the word that I'm going to have to say on this...
Slewing ring.
Right, that's the word that makes Corey cringe at night.
Only because we had to search for it, what felt like for 2 years. I think it was really only like a month,
probably.
But it was a daily email.
Yeah.
How's the slewing ring?
So I designed a revolve that worked on a hollow orbiting piece, and decided the best... mechanism for that was going to be a slewing ring, which is the piece that holds up a tower crane, and they're very expensive. But I had this thought that someone must have misordered one at some point in time. There's got to be a slewing ring sitting somewhere in the world that nobody wants.
It, right?
And we did.
We
found
it.
Several, actually.
Yeah. Now we've got a plethora of slewing rings.
Called three or four companies that build tower cranes and found that each of them had a random part laying around that they would love to get rid of. And then it took forever to nail it down.
Mm-hmm.
And
Now we have it.
Anyway, so yeah, proud owner of Slewing Ring.
Said Slewing Ring.
But yeah, that and many other assets.
I think
assets.
We had to name them. I deserve a name on one of them. We're sending Corey out this week.
Yeah, we only own the one. Yeah. But we definitely, we need to inscribe your name into it in some manner. So yeah, the Adventures of Slewing Ring. Uh-huh. But there were a lot of assets, all of the tools and materials and things. And so that was the advantage. The props and costumes collection was less an advantage. It was definitely something that I felt that A to Z could gain usefulness through having, you know, things to rent out. We have not quite gotten the collection to a fully rentable state yet, but we're still working on it.
And that was when you all were still currently at the 80th and Warnell location, essentially, right?
Correct. So yeah. A to Z was at 80th and Warnell, and then we had the shop at 27th and Warwick. And I was doing a lot of driving back and forth, so we were looking for a building to be able to kind of get both of them into. And the scene shop occupied a little under 20,000 square feet, we believed. But I had spent, you know, 10 years, you know, building custom racks and hiding things in the ceiling and basically taking that 20,000 square feet and making it, you know, enough space for every little nook and cranny.
You were essentially renting air at that point, yeah.
And so when we went looking for a building, we had 6,000 square feet down at 80th and Warnell and 20,000. So I thought, you know, we need at least 30,000. And so that was our search. We started looking for something that was 30,000 square feet or bigger.
And, which is the size of the Arts Asylum, everyone.
Right.
It's, yeah.
30,000 square feet is essentially the size of the building in which this radio show is taking place.
Yeah, absolutely. So we went down a road and we started working on buying a school at 71st and Highway 71, Blenheim School.
I remember seeing that from the highway. Yeah. You
and
could wave at it.
It was 50,000-ish square feet and I think it was going to work out pretty well. There was a lot of red tape to cut through, and we were working through that process. And then Courtney was driving home from her parents one day and saw them hammering a sign into the building we're currently in at Meyer and Rock Hill. And basically what had happened was, as I drove back and forth from the shop to, from 27th and Warwick to 80th and Warnell, I drove by that building all the time. And when we first bought A to Z, we thought, let's buy that building. And then it sold. And it sold just before or just after the Heartland announced its closing, somewhere in there. And then it was going back on the market. And we found out later it was going back on the market because it was bought by Hope Academy, who had started falsifying attendance records to get more state money, and it was being foreclosed. Courtney drove by, she saw they were hammering the sign in to the ground. I was currently working on the school building project.
We were
through a lot of red tape. We were, you know, we could see the finish line in the distance, and Courtney said, hey, this is an option. And so we called them, and they were like, well, we're foreclosing on this. We'd really like to sell it quick. You know, what do you need? So we took a look at it, and it had a brand new roof, and all the asbestos had been abated, and those are my two least favorite things, so I thought, this is perfect.
Right. And it had a sanctuary to take over.
Well, so we needed another church, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the rest is history. So,
Alex
yeah.
needed his church.
In 2009, we bought a Baptist church here, the Arts Asylum, and it's 30,000 square feet. In 2014, we bought, exactly 5 years later, we purchased a Jewish synagogue. Which is where A to Z currently resides. And I always talked about how 5 years after that, we were going to have to buy a mosque. Because, you know, that's the
The Arts Asylum just need a second building. So
right.
anytime you want to start working on that, let me know.
So,
I've got a whole plan ready. Just no money.
I think that was this year.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen. So I'm just going to announce that publicly. We are not buying a mosque.
We're not going to buy a church this year.
You don't know what we can manifest here, people.
Just, hey, stop that.
I just told you we need to manifest ourselves some free time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to work on that first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Right. So that's where we are today. So you have been a part of the asylum, obviously, since the day it was purchased. You know, an official member of the Midnight Society.
Mm-hmm.
And this adventure within these walls has certainly been crazy. You know, I don't think any of us knew whenever this all started. You know,
no.
Here we are 10 years ago to be like, that we would be sitting in this this studio. And, you know, I never would have thought that the nook outside of the...
What was this?
This is the collab piece of the collab.
Okay.
This is where we're sitting right now.
The second chapel on the first floor.
Yes. It was most recently before we got it used by a, I believe, a Vietnamese church.
Mm-hmm. Was that it held
services
one?
In this chapel.
But
yeah.
This nook is where I would sit whenever what is now the collab was the gallery for, this is where the stage manager table would be.
Right.
So then we could rehearse. Yeah. So the room adjacent to us has been, which is now the Ann K. Brown collab, has been every single thing that dream of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the wall to our south, we just put in recently, within the last few months. The wall to the north, we put in 2010-ish.
Yeah.
Because the collab used to go all the way to that window.
I know.
Next to Matthew's desk.
It's amazing just the renovation that has taken place mm-hmm. in 2019.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And behind us, the room that is now you guys' office, was the very first break room when we bought the building.
It's true.
It still smells of cigarettes and lost dreams.
Lost dreams.
Yeah. No, but it's amazing. You know, I definitely... the point of sort of bringing that up, especially with you, is just like you really can sort of find, and I'm sort of speaking on my own, you can find that tribe sometimes on accident, you know, by walking into a theater 10 years ago for a show that I knew nothing about, and now the three of us are sitting here mm-hmm. doing what we do, and so it's really kind of a thumbs up to going out there and like just trusting your instincts sometimes to just do it. Now, I don't know if everyone wants to, like, build the walls like we did, because that was part of it, you know, but it's really kind of cool that we have all of these worlds that sort of intertwine together, and yet, I think, for the most part, are staying as separate as it possibly can, so it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting kind of collection, together and apart, you know.
You're definitely a sister company, but you're not, like... It's just because we're part of the same family. It's not because we...
Yeah.
You're not a non-profit. You know, that's...
Right.
That's a good start.
Probably the...
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Not intentionally, at least.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's just kind of cool. So, because I have to ask, how did you and Courtney meet?
I was hanging out on the plaza one day. I wandered into the Store of Knowledge, which was the public broadcasting station's... toy store, basically. Mm-hmm. Constructive playthings sort of thing. And,
is that now where Fogata Chow is?
No, that was the Discovery Channel store. It's Store of Knowledge is where...
is the children's place still there?
No, I think it's like at like Chico's or something now.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, something. It's like when yeah, it's right there by like a Potbelly and a
place cool.
from...
Oh, yeah. Cool, where the old Apple store used to be? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wandered in there one day, and I was standing in front of the store, and I started juggling. and someone came up to me and said, hey, we'll pay you to do that. And I said...
That okay. person was not me.
No, that was not Courtney. Sorry, we haven't gotten to the Courtney part of the story yet. So I said okay, and I took the job, and that was called Zone 1, and there was someone that they paid to just stand in the front of the store and... play with things and hand them off to customers that came in. So
that's cool.
I was in college and I came in 2 days a week to close, basically. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I would come in and juggle and play with the Devil Sticks and the Diablo and various
is that
things
when you were
in front
at
of the
UKC?
Stage. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. And then Courtney approached me one day after stating that I was too tall to talk to, and asked me to take out the trash. I think the rest is history.
Yeah. I think you might still be taking out the trash, right?
Yeah, I did that this morning. Yeah.
That's his job at the house. Yeah.
So you guys have known each other for how many years?
In
19.
Yeah, this year will be 19.
19.
We married for 15 in October, and together for 19.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually, as the manager, who I still talk to, hi Jamie, if you're around, that asked him to be employed, and then he filled out his application and put juggling under special skills, and I was like, don't hire that guy, what a weirdo.
Yeah, what a weirdo.
And then they did, and he was too tall to talk to, and then, yeah.
I don't think Jamie's actually who asked me, I think it was,
Well, here we go, that all person's right. gone. Not Jamie? Okay. What? He's making a stick motion. Sure. Yeah, I'm there with you. No clue what that
The audience has no idea what you guys are, including the other person.
My apologies for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, somebody asked me, and then I filled out an application, and Courtney said, don't hire that guy. And then later, I was up on, an upper shelf moving some stock around, the displays on, the upper shelves where we made little stacks of things. Mm-hmm. And I, hurt myself. I got cut on some jagged piece of roof that was sticking out. And I had to fill out an accident report. And I don't remember, I think this was before Courtney and I actually started talking, but Courtney saw the form that had my birth date on it. And thought, oh no.
Yeah, he's younger than me.
He is.
Yeah, not a lot.
We'll go with not a lot. It's not a ton.
There's a few years.
Yeah, it's 3 years. He's 3 years.
You just turned 37?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I turned 37 after being 36 for 2 years running.
Yeah.
I'm now 37.
You are 37.
Yeah.
I know that because from time to time in our lives, I have to sometimes be Alex Perry.
That's right.
True. And so I have.
This used to be a job that you
had. Yeah, I used to have to.
I don't know if we should talk about this on the radio.
No, but it was just kind of fun because of all of our worlds going around. Alex was not always able to answer the phone or the email from time to time. Mm-hmm. So
or log into the account.
Yeah, so I how I transitioned from Schlepper number two in Alex's company to I sort of started doing some of their business, and being a little bit of a face, and then that transitioned here into the Arts Asylum. When I go back and look at how all of that happened, it's kind of goofy in the cutest way how we got to where we are now too.
Well, and you still use an email address that I made you from long ago when we started Fire Designs.
That's essentially kind of my personal one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just become that because it's easy.
Yeah,
it's easy to absolutely. Do. Of course, no one can ever understand FDSA, but whatever.
It's so weird because it's just right in
that's
a row.
That's what I say. Go down the keyboard.
People ask me if I named it that because those letters are in a row on the keyboard.
The funny thing is that was my business name. Fire Designs was my... So we already own the name. That's why we...
You guys just added the colon?
We added the colon.
Yeah. When we started it, we were going to do a whole lot of Fire Designs colon something else. So Fire Designs Scenic Arts, we were going to do a Fire Designs Weddings and Events. Mm-hmm. The jewelry store bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all...
Did you know that you two were essentially going to become this dual entrepreneurship when you met, or did that just sort of...
When we met,
when did you sort of start to realize that your guys' track was going to be going towards
I don't think
domination?
We ever realized it. Are you telling me that right now? I think we're realizing it now.
That you...
we were today.
That we're going to own the world?
I don't... I'm not sure that that's the goal. I think the goals have changed a lot over the years.
Okay.
I think the goal now is to have free time.
Free time would be nice. We're old now, so I think that in our youth, we probably had a lot bigger ambitions than we do now. Not that I don't still have ambitions, but...
You're old. That means I'll be old in 3 years?
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Right. You'll also need a knee replacement.
I haven't heard it clip
a special hip pillow.
You guys also have 3 daughters together.
We do. Yeah, I was going to say that we probably didn't really officially know that we were going to stay together forever until after the birth of Riley, who has also been on. That we've been together for 2 years before that. I think that it wasn't. Neither of us were sure on that.
Loose terminology.
Exactly.
Together.
Yeah,
we were friends.
Friends. And then you had a baby.
And then,
that's right.
Yeah. And we're still friends.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
We are still friends.
Yeah, he is my best friend, for sure. That, and I think that that's probably the fact that we were, we did everything backwards. We had a baby, then started dating, then bought a house, then got married. just the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do. But because of that, we had a wonderful, Alex is my best friend, will always be my best friend. And, that comes first. Mm-hmm. In our relationship. So I think that that's probably not the foundation of most people's relationships, but yeah.
How old will you be when you'll have known Courtney longer than you knew her without you? You know what I mean?
I heard the question.
I can answer this, but I was not filling it. I was not filling it on purpose.
10 years-ish? No. 15, 20?
Your next birthday.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, I made you your 19th birthday cake.
Oh, that is
there you go.
Uh-huh. Right. And actually, it was a set of three kinds of cookies.
I lost track after I was 36 for 2 years in a row.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's something Matt and I always sort of talk about, is I will have to be 46 before I've known him, like, been with him just as long as I was without him.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's just kind of a fun thing I love to talk about in couples, because I just can't, like, you know, our friend Victor or whatever, I'm like, you'll never, you know, but then I'm right. like, but you've kind of known your wife for her whole life. It's different.
We'll let Victor explain that when he
comes
up.
We'll let Victor come on and explain that. So in the past year, you've sort of got to take on some really fun adventures as well. You've got to travel abroad. And
I did. I recently went abroad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Came back with bacterial dysentery.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that's a fun time.
So, I mean, it's a joke, but we do have to keep reminding our listeners that you're okay if you keep, like...
that ankle thing that you brought up.
Right, sorry about the ankle thing. I forgot about the appendix, because it was the most...
Or the dysentery.
The, right. Yeah, right, or the dysentery. Because I went on the Oregon Trail, and, no.
But you went on the Barcelona Trail.
I did. So, I've been working with Samsung, not directly, I've been working... for a company in New York who works for a company in South Korea who works for Samsung. Mm-hmm. We built a selfie machine, which is large and fun.
Is that the great pumpkin?
We built the disco pumpkin or the disco onion, depending on what day it is. We actually just built the guts of the disco pumpkin. Another company out of New Jersey built the shell of the disco pumpkin. And we took that out to Las Vegas for CES, Consumer Electronics Symposium.
And that's in January.
Sounds
very
pretentious when you say symposium.
It does.
That was
like
in January.
That's the biggest
yeah.
convention in Vegas, like,
right.
It might be the biggest convention in the world. Somebody definitely said that. I don't know.
I believe that. My dad avoids it at all costs.
It is enormous.
Yes.
It's so enormous that Google... their booth was too large to fit in the convention center, so they built a booth in the parking lot. They just built their own building. Two stories, had a roller coaster inside it. Or not roller coaster, but like it's a Small World After All style ride.
Oh, fun.
On the second floor.
What a fun tangent.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I'm saying we'll get back to It's a Small World After
That. So I put in this thing, and it we didn't have enough time to build it, really. But we made it happen, and we took it to Vegas, and we had some quirks, and I spent a lot of time there just kind of making it work. None of the audience or anybody knew how well or not well it was working in the background. Because
what was the intention of that roller coaster?
So a cell phone rode a trolley on a track and took a video of candidates in the center of the pumpkin. So pumpkin's about 14 feet across, and you stand in the middle, and the cell phone goes around you, and you... dance or move or whatever else. Somebody juggled water bottles that ended terribly when he dropped one, and it knocked out half of the pumpkin for a period of time. That was fun. But
what was cool about it is, like, from the video, small video I saw, is like that it wasn't like shaky. Like it was cool that the image on that thing was not like super shaky.
Yeah,
like,
there's
so...
I'm not sure what I'm allowed to talk about.
I know, I just sort of realized.
Built to show off the image stability of the phone, and then I'm not sure what I can talk about that, the quirks involved in that conversation.
Yeah.
So we'll just move on.
But
just say I put my phone in it and it was very shaky.
Right. We put an iPhone in it and it looked
with
like
a crack screen.
Yes.
And then we put the I guess on that time it was the Note 9.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're currently running with the S10 Plus.
Cool.
So I did it in Vegas and then we took it to Barcelona. And by took it to Barcelona, I mean we left it in Vegas and somehow it mythically appeared in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put it back together there and worked out some other quirks and things, and then they wanted to put it into their flagship store in Tokyo, which they are currently building, or they maybe have built. So Samsung's having a flagship store, and they wanted to put it in there, and it's too big for the room. So we're building another one.
Does that mean you get to go to Tokyo?
So I'm looking at going to Tokyo. Yeah.
When are you
going to
maybe get to do that?
June 8th, I fly out I believe.
You're for sure you don't need anyone to go with you.
I tried to pitch having two people from my company go, and wasn't sure who that secondary lucky person got to be. They said no, so there went that.
Do you get to take one person with you?
No.
No, you don't get to take one.
No, it's just...
And now it's shorter, I think, too.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's, like, jammed into
I wasn't sure market. If I was going to tell Courtney that, or just hang out in Tokyo for the rest of the time, but I guess she knows.
You're the one that told me that.
What did you
I think I told someone near you. So the time at which... So they want it installed on the 1st, and I'm doing the Heartland's Men's Chorus Queen concert, which I didn't really want to miss. So I told them I was not available until the morning of the 8th to fly out. And so I think they're going on the 1st, and they're going to try to get it as much together as they can, or at least get it up the stairs. I don't know. It's on the 4th floor of this building.
Their flagship store is on the 4th floor of a building. I guess that's like how Tokyo works.
That's right? How Tokyo works, yeah.
Talk about our space.
And there's no freight elevator, so... So they're going to take it up the stairs. They actually asked me at one point in time, are you sure we need, because we've been hiring union hands or whoever else to help us at every location so far. And they're like, do we need the hand? We're going to have 5 guys and you, there's 6 of us total. And my response was, well, I'm not carrying it up the stairs.
Right. Yeah, it seems like you're arriving at exactly the right time.
Right.
They've got to carry it up 4 flights.
I think they're
going to
arrive early, carry it up the stairs, and I'll meet it on the 4th floor.
Cool.
So
that's the way to do it.
Right. Couldn't be happier.
And that's pretty amazing. You know, whenever I talk to people about that's a section of it, they're just like, well, we have no idea that happens at A to Z. And I'm like, A to Z is another place that if you can just dream it, they'll try to do it as well. I mean, that's sort of been a tagline, I think, in all of our lives.
Absolutely.
But you actually get to live it in some ways.
When we were printing shirts for the first time, we had some various taglines we were thinking about, and we went with rule number 9 is safety first.
Yes.
That was the first round of shirts.
That's a Zach Thunen, right? Mm-hmm.
Zach Thunen, but actually he took it from a scene shop, I think maybe at Warrensburg or somewhere, that it was actually posted on the wall, rule number 9, safety first. There was, of course, 8 other rules before that.
Yeah.
We had that on the back of our shirts, and then I believe Nick Utoff was the one that came to me and said, we've got to get a different slogan because the OSHA guys on our construction sites, because we do a lot of renovation and construction for venues, they said they're not too keen on the rule number 9 safety first bit. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's funny, but to have it on the back of our high-vis professional construction shirts was not the thing, so...
We went through a lot of OSHA.
Right.
Where's your humor?
We went through a lot of other slogans. If you dream it, we can build it was one of them. I think we went with All the World's a Stage and we built it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Since 1959, All the World's a Stage and we built it. So
That's cool. And you now have a secondary sort of A to Z location in the United States of America?
We do. We just opened a branch in Orlando to expand our costuming department.
Cool.
Whole branch down there. We've got several employees going. And we're working with Norwegian Cruise Lines, I believe I'm allowed to say, and starting other contracts. Various people of Orlando.
Yeah. Well, in Orlando.
There's another location as well.
We did recently. So A to Z's been expanding since 2013. The first merger was with Fire Designs. The second merger was with the American Heartland Theater's Contents. The third was a purchase of Allied Theater Crafts, which has since then kind of been broken down and melded into A to Z Theatrical itself. And then we started the Orlando branch, and just recently, first of the year, we purchased Theatrical Services Incorporated out of Wichita. Mm-hmm. So we have I don't know, last count. I think I'm out of fingers. So.
But yet, he's still not into world domination.
So, just free time.
So, even though none of that list alludes toward free time.
As we've expanded, I've found that kind of the more intelligent people that, have the same interests as the company and have this, the more people that can do the thing, the less responsibility I have to hold myself.
Yeah.
So the bigger we get, the more stable and ability for person number one goes on vacation and we have a person number two as opposed to it just being me. So that's been kind of my view of this, and expansion is an interest in stability as well as growth.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, free time would be great. We're not there yet, but, you know, we'll get there.
We are. So we've also been on, speaking of vacations, we have been on two together, I believe, and we are, in October, going to get to go on our third vacation together.
Yeah.
So we have been to Vegas together in January of, I believe that is 16. And then we went to Chicago together in, I believe, February of 17. And then this October, we will be in Walt Disney World together.
That is correct.
Orlando.
In Orlando.
Orlando.
And this will be a good trip, everyone.
Oh,
right.
My word.
So,
I can't even express
as a
statement.
Group, we're kind of
yeah.
very excited about this endeavor that's
Absolutely.
Moving down the pipe.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to kind of see what the Perry family is like in Walt Disney World.
Yeah, it just occurred to me that we're going to have to do a live episode from Disney.
Sure.
Because we won't have an episode of Couch Chats for that. And then B, the only member of my immediate family that has not been on the podcast now is Violet. She probably will not make it on. She is not the most talkative of humans.
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if Uncle Matt's talking to her.
Or yeah, maybe that's the deal. We'll
or
have
Pauline.
Maddie. Or Polly. Yeah. Yeah, Maddie, Polly, and Violet do Couch Chats one day.
That would be...
That's great.
There would just be moments of children running out of the room screaming and then coming back in. So so I'm excited to sort of do that on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Perry has been my lighting designer for the last two shows that I directed, and I'm very lucky on that.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex is in our immediate world, and he's a good dude. And now we'll get to learn a little bit about Alex.
Oh,
because believe it or not, Fives and Tens, we are over halfway done with this interview.
It's
wow.
true. It's
yes,
true. We've been talking
time
forever.
Goes quickly.
I guess we don't get to talk about the ankle. That's too bad for everyone.
What in the hell is wrong with your ankle?
That, the, like, he's talking about that injury he had like 5 years ago
oh.
at MGMA.
Oh.
MGMA? What?
That is when you had your ankle thing.
Really?
Yes, the first MGMA.
That's a long time ago.
You were still under construction at A to Z at Meijer because you fell off the cinder block. That's what it was.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
I mean, legit, like 5 years ago. Like,
so I was thinking when I came in here, they're going to ask me about my injury, and my ankle was kind of hurting because I was loading in platforms at the Nelson, and the very first thing I did today was a trip over platform.
Are you able to talk
up.
About the Nelson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what is another thing that you're sort of...
So we are installing 9 holes of mini golf on the Nelson lawn.
I was walking some of those turfs after the AIDS walk a week ago Saturday.
Nice.
And it was kind of,
nice.
I was kind of maneuvering around, me and Matthew were, and kind of looking at how they all are laid out up there. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, so we were carrying platforms in, and I set one on the sidewalk because the little pads that they've made were covered in tree schmutz. So someone went to go get a leaf blower and I set one down on the sidewalk and picked up the second one, immediately forgot that the first one was there. And,
sure.
And, so me and some very important Nelson people, and I fell over the whole platform just kind of fell on top of me.
So
great first day
is fine
at Nelson Load-In.
Our merchandise, like you were making jokes about Fire Designs, colon, it will be Alex's fine, colon, from his ankle injury, from his
whatever. Yeah, so appendix is fine, and for some reason I had walked in here thinking, we're talking about an ankle. But that was so long ago that
nobody remembers.
I turned my ankle once, and I don't get very many injuries. So,
but
like,
when you
in
do,
my life,
or
I think
you've
I
had
can,
a lot, and you
well,
just don't pay attention to that.
I don't get a lot of injuries that need extensive care. So,
okay.
My appendix was the first time I'd ever had a piece removed of any variety.
Was that the first time you've been in a hospital?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not like in the doors, but it's the first time I ever had an IV. First time I'd ever had anesthesia, first time I'd had
CAT
something
scan.
Removed,
mm-hmm.
first CAT scan, wow. a lot of firsts all in
you
one day.
You cashed in one day.
Right, yeah, and it like hurt a lot, so I was just like, I don't care.
Just take it out.
Do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but before that, I had sprained my ankle, and that was it. I broke this finger once.
He just flipped me off.
And before that, I had stitches one time from getting cut in a swimming pool.
He brained himself once at the Home Depot.
Oh, I did brain myself at the Home Depot once. But funny story about that, I was bleeding everywhere. I could not get it to stop. I bled like all over the aisles. The Home Depot people were freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get it to stop bleeding, so I drove myself to the hospital. And I got there, and the nurse looked at me like, ugh, why are you here? And because I had cleaned up most of the blood, I had my left hand pressed on my skull. holding in my brains. And she was like, okay, remove your hand. And I,
Corey disappears because he passed out on the couch.
She said, okay, remove your hand. And I was like, I don't want to. I'm going to bleed everywhere. Do you sure you want me to do it right here? Because we were just standing at the counter. And she was like, yes, remove your hand. And I was like, all right, you asked for it. And I moved my hand and nothing happened. It had totally coagulated and really? Never stopped bleeding. In the time from the Home Depot to the hospital,
wow.
It just stopped. And so I'm just standing there like, huh, well, I'm going to leave.
Do you have a band-aid?
Don't bill me.
Yeah. You never saw me.
Right.
I was never here.
Walked back to my car and
drove. Yeah.
But yeah, left lots of blood all over the Home Depot. That was a good time.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like I've even left blood at Home Depot.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, those are the times I've been to the hospital at all in life.
But your last, like, year, because remember, we're only on episode 51, so your appendix happened.
Right.
Yeah. A year ago, like, almost this, because it'll be this weekend.
Yeah.
It was Mother's Day.
Yeah. Whole.
And
yeah.
Then, coming back from Barcelona, I had bacterial dysentery.
Mm-hmm. We win the lottery in our own ways, I would say.
That's fun.
So what is something you were told you could never do or do well that you've accomplished or in the process of accomplishing?
Good question. I'm going to be stumped by all these questions because I'm told you changed all the questions.
We changed.
Just for me?
Not just for you.
Thinking that I had listened to all the episodes, which I have not.
You have not. It's okay.
When I was younger, I was afraid of heights. And I am now an ETCP certified rigger.
And what does ETCPTQRS mean?
I'm going to botch that. So I'm just going to say it's the theatrical association that certifies rigging and electrical use.
Things.
Yeah. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have said ECPT.
You're good.
Most people, you just have to explain to them that that equals heights.
Heights, right. I'm a certified rigger, so I go up high.
Yeah.
And I used to not go up high. Like, I couldn't even get to the top of the jungle gym. But, like, the first time I was on a date with Courtney, I'm going to use air quotes when I say date, I like went to a park at the end of her street and stood on top of a thing. That...
Sure, trying to get me up there.
Right. Yeah.
Did you get over heights because of Courtney, or was this before?
No, I got over heights.
Oh, that would have been a really sweet story.
When Courtney's still terrified of heights.
Yeah.
Halloween 2000.
Courtney is terrified of heights to the level that she doesn't want to like walk on a bridge.
I'm aware
that is solid.
That's why I shake the bridge when she goes on it.
I hate both of you. Yeah. I hate you both for that.
I
would crawl on that bridge to see notes. That dance is such a bridge at the zoo, is what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. That's a great bridge.
It makes me
love that
sweat
bridge.
Just thinking about
I'm talking about
right
the bridge
now.
That goes from the parking garage to your parents' new apartment.
Freaks me out.
Which is like, I don't know, maybe 100 feet long at most.
It's like the length of this room.
Okay, it's 20 feet long. It's solid concrete. It has steel rails that go up like 4 feet high.
You are weird about that.
It's
terrible. Yeah, that has
She's
never
hiding in her
shirt. She is.
Terrible. All right, well.
So heights.
I'm
going
to ask you a question.
Heights. I said heights. And I am still afraid of heights. But I'll do all the things.
Convince yourself not to be when you have to?
Yeah. I remember my most recent fear of heights moment. I was in a boom lift, telescopic boom lift. I was about, I don't know, 60, 70 feet up, trying to focus lights on the big tower that's by Dave and Buster's at the out by the Legends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was before the Legends were built, so there was a lot of just dust and wind, and I'm in the air. I don't remember how happy I am, but
was this at the T-Rex Cafe?
Yes, when the T-Rex Cafe, which is no longer, so
it's
I didn't reference that. Yeah, we were
is
putting
it still
the T-Rex
on your
Cafe.
Resume?
Do I have a resume?
No,
I don't
or
know
your bio.
A resume.
you
my bio now just kind of says silly things.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
At one point, that was a high.
It was, yeah. It was in my bio for a long time.
Yeah.
When I did lighting design stuff, but yeah, I was focusing lights and the wind was whipping through and the boom lift was swaying about, you know, 3 or 4 feet in the direction.
I could not
as I was trying to focus this light that was, you know, anchored, and so it was, I was like walking back and forth in the boom lift as it swayed, trying to stay in front of the light and thinking, oh, I don't think I can do 20 of these.
This is just one and my hands are so sweaty. Right.
Yeah, so, but yeah. I'm
cool.
I'm kind of over my fear of it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one would know that about you in your current world. So this show just proved its point.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you could rule the world for one day, state something you would ban.
Some of these are new questions even for me. That's why it's so interesting.
Can I just ban hate?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Heidi last week said mean people, right? Mm-hmm. Mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I agree with that. Yeah. So hate, yeah. Mm-hmm. So how would you then
decipher... Is it only banned for a day, or does it get to be banned for a while?
Well, you know...
I think that's up to you.
It's a loose question.
It is a loose question.
Yeah, yeah, we sort of talked about that with Heidi, with sort of under the, you know, guise of like, it's a, you start with maybe a day, a month. Today is the day you cannot hate, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a rough thing, yeah. And there would need to be some magic involved, not just like
but rulership. I'm, speaking of magic, what is your definition of real magic?
Yeah, that's an old question, and I've never had an answer to it. Like, I've listened to the episodes and heard, and I mean, people say, like, love. Yeah, that's magical.
It is.
There are other things. I think that I live in a world of providing magic for others.
And, so you are the magician?
And debunking magic within my own kind of career path. You know, we're faced in theatrical production with how do we accomplish this moment, whatever this moment is. And, you know, whether that is accomplished with, you know, acting and the audience's suspension of disbelief, or whether it's accomplished with effects, you know, lighting and scenic and tricks and...
I like to look at you as a magician. That makes sense.
There are a lot of things that we try to accomplish that, you know, some fall short, some, you know, absolutely get there, and the best, you know, piece of proof that that magical moment happened is an audience's view. I think my favorite is actually your mother. Going to see, I hope that the story is not made up in my head, going to see Rocky, the Rocky Horror Show in 2013. We built a rig for Frankenfurter to levitate onto the stage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were a lot of audience members that could not figure out how we did that. Mm-hmm. I believe your mother was one of them. And
it's pretty freaking cool.
It was a fun moment.
Have we used that as in Hammock?
No, it's never been used again. I still have it, but... has never been.
Maybe we'll have to use it.
I've talked about using it in a lot of things, but I won't give away the trick. But yeah, he levitated onto the stage through a curtain, and then the curtain closed behind him, and, and then he unfolded his dress, and it was a giant parachute. And
was that for I'm Going Home?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That was a great show.
Yeah, it was.
And yet, ironically, I've never worked on Rocky with you. Yet I've worked on that show a few times, like directly.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was at the Off Center Theater.
It was, which is now the Music Theater Heritage.
At
Off Center.
All right, well, we're going to go with the crayon question because I know you don't have an answer for it.
Oh, thanks. I should have never told you that. Using this against me.
Yep.
What's the question?
The question is, you're a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Well, my favorite color is blue.
I love the color blue, too.
Yeah, that's a good color, but it's many shades for many different feelings. So lighter blues for, you know, sky or
I'm trying to figure out that.
Whatever else, and darker, grayer blues for thunderstorms.
So you're like a blue that you could click the color.
I was thinking like a double-ended crayon where it like it morphs from like a
sweet
deep gray navy to a light baby blue with all the shades between.
Okay.
You peel the paper off and you can just kind of snap it wherever you need to. Color in whatever mood you are.
All right.
I love that. Okay, I mean, of course. Sure, that's of great. Course you are that. That's amazing. What's one thing that got more clear to you as you got older?
Well, life in general.
Okay.
Just an understanding of life. When I was younger, and I think when everyone was younger, you have a much more simplistic view of the interactions of humans and how things go together. And as you age and are able to see more vantage points, you can put together a larger puzzle of the relationships of humanity and how people associate with each other and how that, you know, life progresses, whatever that may mean. So
yeah, I dig that.
As we age, we get more clarity on how
So would you say that your puzzle just gets bigger?
I don't know if it gets bigger or if it fills in the pieces.
Okay.
You know, when you're a child, you have, you know, the picture is immense, and you can only see the corner you start in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you build, you know, in every direction. And sometimes you jump to another point and build back to where you were. Depends on how.
I knew you'd have a good answer for that. That's damn prolific, my friend. No, but it's delicious, because that's kind of the points of these questions, is you... Mm-hmm. It has a base answer, mm-hmm. but I get usually an amazing response on the mm-hmm. backside of that.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
course that's that. Yeah, go ahead, madame. That's great.
All right. Would you rather have one wish granted right now, or 3 wishes over 5 years?
3 wishes over 5 years.
And what are your 3 wishes?
Ta-da!
3 wishes over 5 years. So I should have picked the one wish now. Now I had to come up with the one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is the realm of magic, and I can just kind of wish for anything.
Well, standard genie rules apply, but
no wishing
you know.
For more wishes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No wishing someone to fall in love with you.
Right.
And no you wishing to bring out people back from the dead.
It gets messy.
It gets messy. I don't like doing it.
I don't like doing it.
Well, I feel as though control of time would be kind of an immense thing that could be extremely useful and / deadly. Or, you know,
yes.
absolute power.
Yeah.
Absolute corrupts, power. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's the second time I've said that today.
but I'm going to wing it with that one. I think that, you know, the standard peace on earth beauty pageant question answer is a good one, and I don't know how to accomplish it. I think that's back to the banning hate thing, but it's a wish, so right,
yeah.
just go with totally. Whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah, time, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I don't know. Yeah. What's left.
All the tacos we can dream of. Right. Yeah, so this is kind of a weird question that I'm working through. You know, so what profession was once highly respected but is now, not necessary or a joke?
I'm going to say teacher.
Okay, do you care to enlighten on that?
Yeah, I feel as though, you know... I have no idea. I'm going to use the term back in the day.
Sure.
I don't know when I refer to, and I don't even know if it's real, but teacher used to be the highest profession. You know, the people that knew the things and taught the people.
The sharing of knowledge.
The
yeah,
sharing of
the
knowledge.
Learning.
And knowledge is, education is very important to my family and very important with me. And I feel as though, you know, a teacher now... an elementary school teacher or a middle school teacher is not well respected, not well received.
I had a conversation about this, really, you know, because it's like when college, you know, sometimes you can take like a college course and do it all on a computer. You don't necessarily have
right.
to do it.
Right.
And it used to be that, you know, like the teacher would have to record themselves almost mm-hmm. giving a lesson or whatever. And now, because we have the ability to test in different ways or whatever, an actual even human distributing that information is not as necessary anymore because of PowerPoints and like Facebook Lives and stuff. Like I could go watch a lecture now
right.
and learn something and not even have to have taken that class whatsoever.
Yeah.
So
TED Talks. And
yeah.
All
there's
that,
just,
yeah.
I think that that's an interesting response that the physical teacher sometimes is not as
I think
necessary.
The sharing of information has gone much more thoroughly throughout society. But I think that, you know, we lose a lot of humans that don't inherently have education as a strong piece of their upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as though it has a effect of further separating us into a class structure in that, you know, people that weren't educated think of education less, and therefore their offspring are going to not think of that as highly.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go to school, because that's mandated, and their teachers are absolute aces, then those teachers can turn that around and break that cycle.
Right.
But if they don't have that ace teacher, or those ace teachers, to break that cycle for them, they are just going to continue that cycle. And you know, when you look at all the isms, you know, a lot of things, a lot of fears and hatreds and that sort of thing just comes from, you know, lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And the understanding that that's solvable, you know, if we had good teachers and programs to...
Do you have an ISM that particularly speaks out to you? An ism that, like, that you're just like, this seems to have grown worse because of the lack of education?
I think that racism has the kind of the biggest play there. There are some isms that are more or less affected by religion. Mm-hmm. And I think that racism is more affected by stupidity, or that cyclical, you know, class,
yes,
thing. Classism and racism often run parallel, just in the opportunities lost, by those that, you know, feel as though they don't have an opportunity to, you know, ever be anything more than their parents were. And if their parents aren't proponents for education, and they don't have any teachers that are proponents for education, and then they're not necessarily...
You really do sort of see that get passed down, you know. I mean, there's families like yours or even mine or whatever, like, education is part of it. Like,
sure.
I it's not that I thought that it was a requirement, it's more of just something that was, like, instilled in me to, like, want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, from a very young age, I feel like I was taught the, you know, essentially the Eve biting into the apple, the inquiry, the wanting to learn more, the wanting to figure stuff out. And I agree that there are some people who do not think that it is necessary to learn.
Sure. Well, yeah. And then the, you know, the issue of that, you know, the education holds
weight.
Well, the systematic way to hold back to instill racism and classism as a thing. You know, I mean, that lack of exposure to it or access to it helps create those systematic, you know, those systems that create racism and classism as a thing that, you know, keeps a portion of our society intentionally undereducated. Yeah. I mean, you know, that I agree with you that teachers are a situation where societally we, you know, have made that profession not what it used to be, not because we don't find value in it anymore. Because my answer to that question was much different when you asked me. I was like, well, the presidency.
sure. The thing about me and the presidency. I like to pretend it doesn't exist.
I know you do.
Yeah.
I know you do.
I know that that's interesting.
That's antithetical to fixing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I just get so mad when I realize that
that's where we are.
He's our president. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be mad. So I stop.
And... in the form of education from that, mm-hmm. the people mm-hmm. who choose to not inform themselves from either the things that he says or thinks or does. You know, I mean, I definitely think with the distribution of bajillion outlets now, you know, like, there used to actually be some sort of checks and balances even in, like, what was written in a book. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there was some sort of...
Well, there still is. It's just there is. Different editors now. And
but now we can get to a point where a lot more of that, more facts can be, or sorry, opinions can be stated as facts mm-hmm. in some...
Yeah, because it's not just books. Well, it's like, I can publish my own blog.
I could literally write something right now, and some reader, if they don't fact-check that source, I could have just said, right, but I hear that the sun is turning actually more of a green than it is a
right.
The final few episodes of Newsroom covered this topic.
I love that show. I wish Jeff Bridges would come back. Jeff Bridges
mm-hmm.
would come back and speak about election night 2016.
I like to pretend that Trump doesn't exist and that we don't have a president right now, and I am happier.
I think we'd be just as good.
Right, I'm happier doing that. But I also want to be clear that I'm not skipping my responsibility. I'm still emailing my congresspeople weekly, sometimes multiple times a week, depending on what's going on. I'm subscribed to the things. I'm going to continue moving through life pretending he doesn't exist personally. But I feel a responsibility to, you know, still be one of the people.
And I definitely think, I mean, Matt, you know, my Matt and I have discussed often, like, because I'm a devil's advocate and I'm an optimist in some sort of way. And so to be like, well, what is something positive that we're sort of taking from this, you know, world right now? And I definitely feel that people are more interested in being informed about what's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I knew who the Attorney General was in previous like administrations.
We sure do now.
Well, right, but I'm saying there has been a knowledge that I will just take responsibility for becoming more of a civil person, you know, civil mm-hmm. activist in my own world of knowing things so that I know what I'm supposed to talk about. He has at least made it to where I'm far more informed, I think, about what's going on around me than sure. than before, where I thought people had it under control, and now I don't think anyone has it under control. No, well,
when he got elected, I thought this was going to be the perfect launch of the DSA, the Democratic Snipers of America, to finally start taking care of some of these problems that we have. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So.
It didn't. No. The NRA's not doing too well right now either.
Yeah, no. Well, everybody's. I mean, this must be what Watergate felt like to watch. But it seems like when we learned about it in school, because we are all post Watergate actually happening, that that it seemed like it was like. And then Deep Throat arrived, and the next day the president was impeached. Like, that's how what I mean? Like, that's how I feel. Like,
a process.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, that it all was just like, well, but Nixon was, like, actually a better dude, because he was just like, well, they've done found me out, so I'm just going to resign and call it done. And so it must be what it was, but
I knew this conversation would go in a crazy way.
But also, you know, we have iPhones now. We have Androids now. And the populace doesn't care.
I don't know if that's true.
I think that they're misinformed, or they're not informed, or they don't give up.
Or the hackers are only showing them that shit.
Right. Yeah. And so are the control of what the standard human, and when I say that I mean half, you know, let's just say half. Sure. Let's say half of the populace voted for him, which isn't true. Mm-hmm. You know, but still, you know, what's the percentage of people that voted at all?
Right. Yeah. It's still small.
Most recent election year in the city, what was it, like 5,000 people voted or something?
It was like, I think it was like 13,000. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something that was just like, what? Why have you not shown up? But what is the matter with you?
In a city where we have over 100,000 people.
Oh, well over.
Well, I'm saying
we're almost at like 800,000. I mean, you know, we can all show up to a Royals parade, but. Only
there's
10%.
There were 800,000 people at the Royals Parade. There are definitely more than 800,000 people in the city.
Well, I'm saying they could vote, like, you know, in this. Again, right. We're agreeing. 800,000 people is even worse. I'm saying if 13,000.
I would have accepted 80,000 voting. Yeah.
But 13,000 people deciding who potentially our next mayor is going to be?
That's the thing is, I'm like, local government is where you're supposed to, like, care more, and people just don't.
Jefferson City a month ago, which was very damn enlightening to me, it's just literally, like, there are a few things. I almost, like, that's an answer to some question somehow, to be like, no, that Jefferson City looked exactly how I thought it was. People wheeling and dealing in hallways. Mm-hmm. Like, it was House of Cards. Like, it was exactly that. People, like, over lunches, like, wheeling and dealing and talking about it. And we got to go sit in a forum meeting about the Chancellor at UMKC.
Thank goodness for Greg Razor, who will be running for Senate this year. Everyone vote for him. He just announced his candidacy and his pages. Go subscribe to all of his stuff. We love you, Greg.
We do love him. And he will work hard for us. So, as we wrap up, is there anything you would like to leave our listeners with? Any words, anything we didn't get to ask, or encouragement, or... I mean, I know. I actually learned this at my last Miss Game Missouri, and that was a question that they said at the end. Is there anything that you would like to say that we have not been able to cover?
Nope.
Silent.
Cool. Nope. Well, that's great.
I don't usually find myself in a position like this, speaking publicly or otherwise. And, I'm happy not
to do that.
Let's do in part no wisdom.
No wisdom.
Well, we talked about things, we talked about topics. I don't need to bore them.
The answer can be nothing. Mm-hmm. That's what's amazing. Absolutely. So then who do you think we should have on the couch? Who would you recommend that you would like to hear from?
He was going to say me, except I'm on the couch all the time.
Sure.
Can I go with Violet?
I don't know. She's going to be something if we ever get her on on there. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, next week, we will have Ron McGee from Late Night Theater on to do our one-year episode.
We'll be at Jammies, there'll be mimosas, there'll be brunch, we'll be eating, we'll be talking, it'll be fantastic.
We're going to try to keep it to an hour.
We're going to try. I don't know. Matthew may be outside the office just, like, silently recording us as he is now. Who knows?
Right. They're creepy. Most of this will now be edited out. But yes, thank you, Alex, for being on the show. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun to have you on the show. I've been waiting, I would say, a year to talk to you. Only because there are so often that I get to have this conversation while sitting on your porch or sitting, you know, in our own personal lives. And I've always told people I wish that people could just sort of hear what your vernacular is, you know, just your stream of consciousness sometimes without your cell phone ringing or without an email coming in. I think that there are, I think that you're a very smart human that people should hear something from. Mm-hmm. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you for being on the show and letting others get to hear you.
Yes.
And tune in next week, like we said, for our 1 year episode of Couch Chats.
Yay.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to see who we've got on the couch. New episodes are available in the KC area on KOJH 104.7 Thursdays at 2 p.m. or on iTunes. Bye!